I guess it was probably 2009, 2010, somewhere around in there. Pastor Wink, Gwen, Amy, and myself, we had traveled to Memphis to the Mid-South District office. I was set up for an interview in front of a committee that determines whether you're eligible to go to the seminary. For me, it was actually the entrance into the S&P program. During the interview, one of the men or the women on the panel asked me how important purity of doctrine was to me. Before I could help myself, I blurted out, "I take it just as seriously as my brownies." Well, of course, I had to explain what that meant. And someday, if you really want to know, we can have that discussion. But today is not the time or the place, and as you already know, I've passed the interview. Well, later in the lobby, while we were all talking together, one of the members on the panel remarked, "I really wish you would have come here 20 years earlier." Well, Pastor Wink, in his wisdom, replied, "But those 20 years really made him who he is today." Well, that is true. The roads that we have traveled, the scars that we bear inside and out, make up who we are. We all have had our journeys, haven't we? Joseph, the main character in our Old Testament reading for today, had his own journey. Favorite son of the father, but hated by most of his brothers. Thrown down into the pit only after the brothers were talked out of not killing him by his brother Reuben, the sandwich maker. Then sold into slavery to the Midianites when his protector was gone. Sold for 20 shekels of silver. Jacob, the father, is told that he is killed by a wild beast and gone forever. Jacob is heartbroken. The only remaining item of his son, the coat of many colors, is ripped in shreds by the brothers and soaked in blood. Meanwhile, Joseph is taken to Egypt and sold to an officer in Pharaoh's court. Potiphar is his name, a captain of the guard. Despite all that has happened to Joseph, the Lord had not abandoned him, and he grew in favor with those that he served. Now Joseph, he was a pretty handsome man, and soon he caught the eye of Potiphar's wife. When he refuses her numerous romantic advances, she tricks him and accuses him of some pretty nasty things in front of Potiphar, who then throws him in prison. And while in prison, Joseph too still has the favor of the Lord, and he prospers and is soon put in charge of all the other prisoners. After becoming known as a man of God and being able to interpret dreams, the Pharaoh calls on Joseph after a very troubling night's sleep. Joseph interprets the Pharaoh's dream of 7 years of great plenty and 7 years of drought, and it pleased Pharaoh so much that he sets Joseph to be his second in command. The only one greater on the throne would be the Pharaoh himself. Well, the years of plenty did come, and they were pretty fantastic years. The land produced far above anyone's expectation. It was like the sand on the seashore. It couldn't even be counted. And when the 7 years of plenty were over, the 7 years of severe drought came. Famine was throughout the whole land. It was so severe that the whole earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain for food. And come they did. By droves they came, including Joseph's brothers, sent by dad Jacob, not just once, but twice to buy food. And it is in this context that Joseph reveals that he is their brother. And you might think that Joseph's brothers would be happy to see him. But verse 3 says they were dismayed, frightened, terrified at his presence. You see, they each had traveled their own journey up to this point. They had made decisions, plotted together, conspired first to kill Joseph, and then after being persuaded by Reuben, the sandwich man, they simply sold him to some slave traders for 20 shekels of silver. And here they sit in front of the second most powerful man on earth, the same man that as a boy they had ridiculed, laughed at, sneered at, pushed down into a pit, dragged up again when his protector wasn't looking, and sold him as if he didn't mean anything to them at all. Some brothers they were. And now he held their very lives in his hands. What would Joseph do? What would we do if we were in his place? Well, to help you answer that question, let me tell you a story about the journey of another little boy. I won't tell you his name because you probably know him. You meet him on Sundays here at church. His childhood wasn't the greatest. His parents had talked about divorce before he was even born. But the parents persevered, and he went on to live happily together in marriage for quite a while after his birth, though his stepdad died fairly early. The boy had other siblings, but they didn't really get along all that well. Though not the fault of the boy, you see. The boy just seemed different. The boy grew and did follow in his stepdad's business for a while, but eventually decided to travel. He did that for several years, picking up some friends along the way, teaching them a thing or two, healing those that had need, until he gained the attention of the religious community. They couldn't have this nobody from nowhere teaching people with authority, healing people, forgiving sins like he was God or someone. So the religious leaders decided that he needed to die. They cooked up a scheme with the government to make it happen. They arrested the young man, beat him, whipped him, put on a sham trial, convicted him on some nonsense charge, led him away to be crucified, spitting on him, striking him as they made him carry his own cross. And when they come to the place called the skull, they crucified him there, nailing his hands and his feet to the wooden beams. And as they gambled for his clothes, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And in a few short hours, he was dead. This was this man's journey. Though we all know that it wasn't over quite yet. God the Father would raise him from the dead in 3 short days, signaling that his sacrifice was accepted, that his sin, death, and the devil had no power over us any longer. God's wrath over sin, our sin, has been appeased by the death of his Son. So the answer to the question of what we would do if we were in Joseph's place is this: we have the power to forgive because we have been forgiven. We have the choice to react to things that life throws at us, the bad things, the irritable things, the things that just plain aren't fair, even the things that give us scars, the Joseph things. Sometimes the easiest thing to do is to punish others for the wrongs that they have done against you, especially if you have the power to do those things like Joseph did. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't be consequences for wrong actions or that we should blindly trust everyone. We need to be smart. If you read Genesis chapter 43 and 44, you would find that Joseph tested his brothers to make sure that they had changed their ways. But he also realized that his journey was for a purpose. Picking up at verse 4. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now don't be angry or distressed with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in this land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God." Joseph was able to see the big picture with the help of the Holy Spirit. He saw how his journey from the pit to Egypt, to Potiphar's house, to prison, to the second most powerful man next to the Pharaoh himself, and the scars that came with it, inside and out, saved the world from death by starvation. In much a bigger way, the journey and the scars on the hands and the feet of that young man that you meet here every Sunday saved the world from sin, death, and eternal damnation, if you only don't reject him and his love for you. We've all had our journeys, haven't we? And we all have the scars to prove it. It's what makes us who we are. And as we travel the road together, God has a plan to use us for his purpose. We may not know what his purpose is for us, whether it may be as simple as forgiving our brother, or as grand as saving our nation. Whatever it is, I pray that we are all as accepting and noble as Joseph was, and that we do it all for God's glory. In Jesus' name, amen.